morning, everybody. This morning we are going to approach the Sedra the opposite way around. We're going to approach it via the Haftarah. And we're going to try and find what is the relationship between the Sedra and the Haftarah. And even just learning the Haftarah itself is fascinating. There are two beautiful, say two stories. There's a lot of pain in these stories. There is also joy. But you know what? Let's just learn it. The Haftarah consists of two stories. One relatively brief, the other longer. A woman who was a wife of one of the sons of the prophets. The students of prophets were called their sons. So Akar Elan Shalimor. So our pile of Shalimar. You hear me in the back now? So our car. She cried out to Elisha, saying, Elisha is the great student of Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi has already been taken to heaven, and Elisha is now on earth. And Elisha had asked for a double portion of Eliyahu's greatness. And the Navi describes one after another miracles that Elisha did. Here is one. A woman from the wives of the sons of the prophet Sarko cried out to Elisha Lamar, saying, Avdecha Ishi Meit, your servant, my husband, is dead. The Atoya Data, and you know, Ki Avdecha Yodei Hashem, you knew that your servant, my late husband, feared God. In Tanakh there are only four people who are called those who fear God. The Avraham, Moshe, the third one escapes me. The fourth is Ovadia. Ovadia is one of the 12, I don't like to use the word minor prophets, I'd say, one of the great prophets whose sefer was smaller than the others. Ovadia is all of one chapter. But that one chapter that was written by Ovadia is awesome. He is the one who describes what ultimately will happen to the forces of evil in the world. They will be judged by God on Arzion. This woman's husband was Ovadia. Ovadia is the one who was the head of the household of Achav and Izebel. Two idolatrous kings of Israel, king and queen of Israel. It was a terrible period of Jesus. But here, in the midst of all of this pagan and heathen corruption, Ovadia is a God-fearing man. And when the Navi talks about somebody as God-fearing, this is serious. This is very, very, very serious. What did Ovadia do? Ovadia really pulled off something that was amazing. Ezebel wanted to destroy all the prophets of God. Wipe them out. Exterminate them. And he took 100 prophets, put 50 in one cave, 50 in another cave. At his own expense, he provided them with food and drink. Of course, the fascinating part of it all was, that all the food came from the kitchens of Achav. That's them, from the kitchens of Achav. God has a great sense of humor. Achav and Izebel want to destroy all of the prophets, but he ends up providing for them. But it was all at Obadiah's expense. Now, you know, I'm always so excited to start this year. You know how excited I am at the beginning of this year? And I'm excited through the whole year. So I forgot to make an announcement that I've been telling myself for the last 20 minutes. Don't forget to make this announcement. So I'm going to make the announcement now. That's what happened to me. Important thing is, I didn't forget to bring the source sheets. I didn't forget to come. I came with my camera. I came with my recorder. And it's full. I can't. But I'm going to make the announcement. This shiur is dedicated and sponsored by Dr. Sheldon and Connie Abramson in memory of Moshe David ben Shmuel Olah Shalom and Shimon Zev ben Shraga Nosson. Moshe David is your father, Connie. Moshe David ben Shmuel, Connie's father, 41st Yahrzeit. So we are learning the Ilu Nishmoteh. Did I redeem myself? The cup is all over the place. So anyway, here we're talking about now tragedy strikes. Ovadia endangers himself. Not only that, Ovadia gives all his wealth away. He remains penurious and poverty stricken, and he is providing for 100 prophets. He reaches the point where he has to borrow money. And unfortunately, the person who lends him the money lends it to him on interest. He knows that this is a terrible aveda, but he's committed to do it because there are 100 lives that depend on him. But wait a minute, the quirk over here is more. Who's lending him the money? The prince, Yehoram, the son of Achav. God, you know, when I think of what's going on in that palace, it's unbelievable. Here are Achav and Yisrael. They are pagans and heathens. They want to destroy all the prophets of God. And here there's a whole clandestine operation that's going on in the palace kitchen. It's unbelievable. They're providing meals over there that go to the prophets. Obadiah, who was in charge of the house, is paying for it. The priest, the son of Achav and Yisrael, is the one who's lending the money. It staggers the imagination. And then Obadiah dies. Young man dies. Leaves his wife and almana with a few children. Debt ridden. And Yehoram, the prince, wants to take her children as slaves in payment for the loans. It's a pretty sad spectacle. Let's read it again. The Isha Achavni, the Shev B'nai Anavim, and a woman who was from the wives of the sons of the prophets, Sarkol Elisha, cried out to Elisha, saying, Avdecho Ishi Meis, my husband who was your servant has died, Vatoyadata, you know, your servant, my husband, Obadiah, feared God. Va'anosheva, the creditor has come. La'kachat et shnei yeladai lo la'avadim, to take my two children to him as slaves. We get a whole picture in this passage. An amazing picture. And you always have to look for a code word. Of course, to me, the code word, immediately, the code word that connects this with the Seder is the word tzarkah. She cried. Because in the Seder, it says that God says, I'm going to go down and see ha-ketza-ar-kata, the cry that has come up from Sodom and Gomorrah. Is it really true what's happening there? the cry of those who are downtrodden and beaten in soul. The poor, the penurious, the almana, the akol, the tsa'aka. And then, but in this one passage we have a picture of real corruption. Terrible corruption. The prince is taking interest. The prince wants to take the children away from the almana in order to make them into slaves. I have a feeling, none of this is said in the Pasuk. The Pasuk really has really concealed it all. The Pasuk doesn't tell us who the creditor was. The Pasuk doesn't tell us that this was the prince. We know nothing. For all of this, our rabbis told us that this is the pshat. All of the Pharisees said that was the pshat. I think they didn't want this to become the story. The story over here is a story of a miracle that was done by Elisha. And the moment you start giving all the details, then it really becomes something that I already described that I didn't want to describe. A picture of terrible corruption and evil. Of course, the picture of corruption and evil is a reminder of Sodom and Amorah. But that's not the point of the story here. The story over here is the happy ending. That's why I was... one of the Mepharshim, one of the more modern Mepharshim of the Haftarah, places all the stress. The purpose of this Haftarah is to tell us, take a look at what the Jewish people looked like in the days of the kings. You know what it was? Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe he's missing the whole point. Missing the whole point. You know, it's to take the negative that isn't really clearly spelled out in the Pasuk and make that the reason for the Haftarah. In other words, the Pasuk is telling us about Sodom and Amorah, and the Haftarah is telling us about Sodom and Amorah. I think that that's completely and totally unjustified. But I'm not going to tell you who said it, because it will upset a few people here, and I don't like to upset anyone, ever. All right. Now let's see what happens. I have a question to ask over here. I have a few questions. I don't even know if I have all the answers for my questions. I don't have to have answers all the time. Sometimes you come up with answers too. What happens? Vayomri leha Elisha, Elisha said to him, Ma esolach, what can I do for you? Hagidi li, tell me, Ma yesh lach babayit, what do you have in the house? The house is empty. The cupboards are bare. You have something in the house? Vatoma, English, katakol babayit. Your maidservant has nothing in the house. The only thing I have is a little jar with a little bit of oil. A little jar with a little bit of oil. So the Navi Elisha says to Elohim, go and borrow vessels from out of the house. May a kol shecheinayet from all of your neighbors. Kalim reikim. Empty pots, pans, barrels. Al-Tamidi. Don't be staring about it. Get as many as you can and bring them into the house. Ubat, and you should come. The Sokar Hadelet Badech. Another one of the fascinating phrases that's going to appear a number of times here in the Haftorah, in the first story here and in the second story. Close the door behind you. Let me just tell you why that excited me. Because when the malachim, the angels, come to Sodom, and the people of Sodom surround the house, so first it says, I'm reading from the Chumash, Lot went out to them, out the door, and he locked the door behind him. The crowds come, they want to break down the door. So the angels are in the house. They pull Lot into the house. You know what they do? And they lock the door. In the Haftorah, we're going to see doors locking. And in the Seder, we're going to see doors locking. We'll see what it all means. Over here in the Haftorah, Rashi says very clearly, a miracle requires concealment. A nes, you don't make nisim, you don't make miracles out in Binyanei Ha'uma, in Kikar Safra, by the Kotel. A nes requires a certain, let's call it tzniut. Ein habrocha shruya, the Gemara says, Ein habrocha shruya. Brocha is found b'dovar hasomri mana ayin, by something that is concealed from eyes. Concealment is the oxygen of nes. I just made that up. I like it. A nes requires concealment. You don't just try and do nisim. After the nisim have been done, then there becomes a halakha of pirsume nisim. It's a mitzvah to Hanukkah. I mean, of course you have to think about Hanukkah. All that was left in the house was a little jar with a little bit of oil. It was not a full jar of oil. A little bit of oil. And it has to be in concealment. Where did the next Hanukkah take place? It wasn't out in Itzavion Teddy. It was within the Heichal of the Beth Hamidash. The only ones who saw it were the Kohanim. Nobody. And only the Kohanim who came to the Heichal. A nes, a day. Our mamas used to be like that. Your mother ever Vazafar? You know what Vazafar is? Am I that old? We were worried of Iron Harbor. That was cool. Don't ask me what this my mother used to do. That's not fine. No. Close the door, Alicia says. Close the door. What's she going to do with all of these jars and jugs and barrels and pots and pans, everything that she has in the house? Come and close the door behind you. And behind your sons, in other words, you and the sons of the house, your tzaka, pour, kill, wherever, amole, tassil. Pour from the jug. The little cruzella that has oil. Just make believe. Start pouring. And you know what's going to happen? You see what happens. Oil starts pouring out. It fills up the pots, the pans, the barrels. And he says, as soon as one becomes full, move it away and put another one in its place. It's going to keep pouring. The oil is going to keep coming out. And she, so these were the instructions that Elisha gave her. But Pesach told him, left him, but to score her delet barda, no, she did it. She closed the door. I mean, obviously we assume already that she has gathered all of the pots and pans and barrels, all of that is in the house already. And then she closes the door. They bring the vessels to her. Behemoth second. And she's pouring. And it pours, and it pours, and it pours. A geyser. There's oil pouring. And it came to pass that when all of the kelim were full, Batomid of the north, she said to her son, Hagisha, Eli, O Kelly, give me another one. And he said, Ain't old Kelly. There is no, there are no more, no more. That's it. Vayamar Hashem. And the oil stood. Exactly what that means, stood. What happened? No, it wasn't pouring. Right? Stop. But Tavor HaPeket, Elisha was a king, she came, and she told the men of God, Elisha, Vayomi said, L'chi m'chir Hashem, and go sell the oil, v'shawiyat nishayif, nishayif, and pay off your, the people your money, pay all of your debts. V'atu b'nayif, t'chi b'anotar, and you and your sons are going to live with the money that's left over. According to the Medrash, that little John never stopped pouring oil. She was taken care of for the rest of her life. End of story. Nice story. I have a question. I live in modern day Eretz Yisrael. If Elisha is so concerned about making certain that the miracle takes place in silence, and you know, who needs a miracle? Go print up a glossy sheet. I never how money is I been. Husband died young. Everybody should give money and give you a special bracha from this kabbah, from that kabbah. Anybody who gives 360 shekel a day for the next 25 years, you know, will have all the brachas for. Why did we go on a campaign? You understand what? Because there was something, I believe the answer to that is because there was something much more important than just providing for her. Providing for her was one thing. There are ways to provide for the almana and her two children. But there's a crisis of faith over here. She can't understand. She has a husband who... great self-sacrifice, tzaddik, one of the few people in history who's God-fearing, and he dies penniless at a young age, leaves her. There's a moral dilemma, questions on God, difficult questions that cry out. Her tzarka is not merely a tzarka for her physical or financial condition. The tzarka is a cry of evangelism. What did you do? How do you do something like this? If all that Elisha had to provide for was her financial well-being, enough ways to take care of that. Not ways to take care of that. But what he has to do is he has to send her a message. The message that he sends her, as I understand it, is not something that's going to explain to her why her husband was taken. It won't do that. But you know what? At least it will remove the sharpness of the question. Like, where was God? Not the same question anymore. I'll tell you, the classic example is most only the classic example in Jewish history. After the Shoah, the Albert Kamenetsky writes, after the Shoah, there was the grave danger of a mass flight from Judaism. Jews had terrible questions. What had to happen was something of the magnitude of Hakamat Medinat Yisrael. It doesn't answer the question. but there's a certain balance with it. You can't say that he's not around. Take a look, but he is hearing all of his prayers. Doesn't answer questions, but it takes off the sharp edge of the question. Like you can keep going. So you end up with, I don't understand why that happened, but my faith and belief in God, it still remains strong. What he was doing here was he was dealing with the emotional, the moral, and the religious aspects of her pain. And for that, it's not going to help going ahead and making a campaign to raise money for her. Over here, it had to be something, a message that's sent to her by the Levashel, straight to her, a letter to her. I'm here, and I'm taking care of you. The next question I'm going to ask, I don't even know if she'd ask it. When we get to the next story, you'll have no difficulty whatsoever. In the course of the next story, you'll have absolutely no difficulty figuring out why. That's the Haftorah for Pasha Pagedo. You'll see. It's going to be a nearly an exact replica. A woman who has no children. And the Navi tells her, okay, Chayov, this time next year you'll have a child. It's taken directly from Pasha Pagedo. The angel tells Sava, okay, Chayov, next year you're going to have a child. The second story fits the Sedra 100%. How does the first story fit the Sedra? That's another thing, something that bothered me. The only thing I could come up with, is that this is something in a different sense is said by one of the other person, but not to answer this question. I told you one who says that the purpose of this Haftorah was to show what had happened to Avram's people, how evil they had become. I don't like it. I don't like it fucking. Because that's not the one first talk about Torah, that's not the love story. But certainly in both stories, you know what we're going to see? An outpouring of chesed. An outpouring of kindness. Al-Sedra is Avon's outpouring of kindness. The mad kindness at the beginning of the Sedra. Those three Bedouin out on this very, very hot day. He's the third day after his Brit Milah circumcision, and he's 99 years old, you understand. I always say, why be the rabbi of Beersheba? And our form would ask me what he should do. I would have told him, Ligangai. Stay in bed, drink orange juice, and take alcohol. Yeah. And don't worry about the shibboom that are walking outside on a hot day like today. Who is those mishibboom to go out there? What do you think you are of them? You think you're a teenager? And he runs out to them, back to Sarah's tent, out to the cattle. He cooks, he bakes. It's unbelievable what the man does. Unbelievable what this 99-year-old sick man is doing. That's how long the man of great kindness. We talked this some years ago about the fact that that this great kindness is you know what I'm telling you? I'm going to tell you something. Don't get choked up with me. Don't get upset with me. Avram's kindness is not a model for mere humans like us. Torah does not require that we should act the way Avram Avinu acted. Avram Avinu acted the way he acted because he knew he had to do that. And that was a shiur that I said a number of years ago, where Avram Avinu, whom we described last week as the great genius who discovered something that nobody else was able to discover. He discovered the existence of God. He also understood that what I called some years ago, there is a dark side to genius. The dark side to genius is that the genius is the one that he can think, who can think he's better than everybody else. It's a different rule that applies to the genius. And therefore, our Avraham Avinu is going to make sure that he will never, ever fall into the trap of the dark side of genius. He goes to the complete opposite. This man who is the most brilliant of men who ever lived, is able to say before God and this, etc., Anochi Ofa Vaisa. He is able to use all of his energy for the three dusty, as I said, the Rav of salvation. Drei, I don't want to say everything he says, the drei Bederiner, the drei Schmutzige Bederiner. That's how the Rav describes. Because Avraham Avinu has discovered not only God, he's also discovered the possibility of his own weakness. And he's going to make sure that he's never going to fall into that trap. And he turns himself into the most awesome man in Chesed. I would have thought Avraham Avinu, who was able to discover the whole Torah before it was given, would be the pillar of Torah. Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. That's not the way it is. The three pillars, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim, Torah is Yaakov. Avodah is Yitzchak. Gemilas, Chasadim is Avraham. Avraham makes himself the great paragon of kindness to a point of very close to absurdity. So if you do see anything in the two stories in the Haftorah, the story of kindness. Because you know what else? Avraham Avinu discovered? He discovered God. And you know what he also discovered? He discovered that the purpose of God having created this world is so that he should be able to pour out his kindness to man. Only man is worthy. That's what God wants. The Haftorah is the story of Chesed. And let's take a look at the next story. Vayihi Hayom. In this next story, the Zohar is going to play a great role. The Zohar says, wherever it says, and there are a number of places in Tanakh where it says, Vayihi Hayom is Rosh Hashanah. It was the day. Vayavar Elisha, Shunem, Elisha, passed, I imagine it's Erev Rosh Hashanah. Elisha passes through Shunem. Where is Shunem? Right, so this is the geography over here is very important because you know, of course, that we have a son and a daughter-in-law and her seven Eidelach who live in Afula. Afula? Ever heard of Afula?
Yeah.
Anybody in this class has ever heard of Afula? I haven't been learning here for the last 15 years, I understand. Afula is the capital of Emek Yisrael. My son and his family live Givat Hamoreh. Givat Hamoreh is a Givat on the heights of Afula. Down the slopes of Givat Hamoreh, in the valley below, there is an Arab village called Sulam. Sulam is the site of ancient Shunam. In fact, there is in the middle of that Arab village, there's a place that's called Beit HaShunamit, the remnants of the home of the Shunamit. We once took a busload of people from the Israel Center on a trip up to the, we sort of told them we're taking them for a tour up to the north. This was pure publicity for my son's institutions in Afula. Brazen. So, but we had to give them something. So, first of all, Givat Hamoreh is where Gideon gathered his forces for battle, and down below in Shunem, so we took them to the house of the Shunamit. And you know, the last time I had been there was not too clean, so I made sure when we got onto the bus I had brooms and garbage bags, and we cleaned the house of the Shunamit.
Yeah.
By the way, it's a schula for women who are childless to go and pray at the house of the Shunamit. I even saw in one of the, I think in Yanteid or one of the others, Rav Chaim Kanievsky took a whole group of people to the house of the Shunamit. Okay. There's a great woman in Shunem. Elisha went to Shunem to Shom Isha Gedolah. There was a great woman, Bapetazarbo. She grabbed onto him, in other words, verbally. She invited him. She was a big possessor. And she invited him to eat bread. By him, they also, you know what happened? From time to time, as he would pass through Shunem, Yosur Shoma, he would return to her house, he knew that whenever he came to the house of the Shunamit, he would have a meal. But Tomer Elisha, she said to her husband, he named her Gadati, I know Ki Isha Lukim Kodoshu, Ovir Oleinu Tame. There is a man of God who is very holy who passes our house. And the Gemara says, how did she know that he was holy? So first of all, the Gemara says that that women are better judges of character than men. They know their guests. And over here, because no fly ever flew near him.
Yeah.
There can be flies here and flies there, but no fly where Elisha is. So she tells her husband, we have this holy man. Nasim Aliyah, Kirchikana, let us make a little upper loft, a room. The Nasim Oshama will put for him there a bed, a table, a chair, a lamp. Whenever he comes to us, he'll have his own private room. This is a pretty nice act of chesed. And you know, she wasn't going to waste any time over here, you know, maybe 6 months worth of shibutzin, you understand? Make a nice, clean, neat room for him. Vayehi hayom. Nachama. On this certain day, by Yavo Shoma, he came there, by Yosama Eliyah, by Yishkav Shoma, and he turned and went up to his room, and he lay down there. By Yomer al Gehazi Nado, he said to Gehazi, that was the name of his servant, or the boy who accompanied him, Krola Shunamit Hazot, call this Shunamit, by Yitrola, and he called her, by Tamod, the she stood before the Novi Elisha. By Yomelo, he didn't speak directly to her. He tells Geshazi to speak to her. And Mornoi Leo, tell her the following. He made Paradite Leo with Kol HaKarada HaZot. You have done all of this for us. Mela Sotla, what can I do for you? How can I repay you? How can I show my appreciation? I guess you Rabbeinu HaKalamelech. Do you need somebody who will speak to the king on your behalf, or to Sarah Tzava, or to the commander-in-chief of the forces? Is there anybody that you need prophetic protection? You need something. No, she's a big woman. But Thomas, this is unbelievable. The words of this Shemani. B'toch ami anoti yoshot. I live amongst my people. Vey, what does she mean? The Toch Ami Anochi Yoshua. Obviously she's telling him, I don't need, thank you, no thank you, I really don't need anything. You know, here I am amongst my people, so you know, if you want to just look at the pshat is that, listen, I'm here amongst familiar people, whatever, all my needs are being met, I really don't need anything. I don't need anything. The Zohar is the one who really opens up the understanding of this pasuk. It says the following. It was Rosh Hashanah. And Elisha asked her, can I speak to Melech Malchei Hamlochem? Can I intercede with God on your behalf? She has a lot that she wants. She has no children. Not that she doesn't say that. She says to him, "Betoch ami anochi yoshevet, I'm living amongst my people." So the Zohar explains, you know what she's telling him? Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. On the Yom HaDin, I don't want to stand out singly before God. I want to be judged together with all of Israel. Anybody who's going to have to stand up for judgment before God alone doesn't stand a chance. But if you come up as part of Klal Yisrael, together with all the whole nation, you too will emerge unscathed and blessed. They say that Rav Elchanan Wasserman, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Bachanovich, was killed by the Nazis, Shemim Tom Tamo. So he told the Gabbai in the Yeshiva on Rosh Hashanah, don't give me an aliyah. So of course, the Gabbai in the Yeshiva knows a Sittin Shulchan Aruch where it says that everybody should try to get an aliyah on Rosh Hashanah. It's a very important, very significant. So Rebbe, you know, why? So he says, I don't want that on Rosh Hashanah they should hear up there, Yamai, my Reyu, Rabbeinu, Hagoyin, Rav Elchanan, Bitsin, Fribunim, Shlishim. By the way, is there a similarity here between this story and the previous story? Silence? Hidden? Shanua? Secret? I'm part of the cloud. I want to be part of Klal Yisrael. That's the way I want to stand before God on Rosh Hashanah. I believe that may very well be when Avraham Avinu says, Anochi Ofer V'Efer, I'm like everybody else. And like everybody else, he doesn't want to stand out in any way whatsoever. And by the way, what was his prayer on behalf of Sodom? If there would be a minion, if there would be 10 righteous people, Sodom and Amorah, all of them would have been saved. Because if you have 10 righteous people, a minion represents the cloud. And to be part of that cloud is what brings salvation to the Jewish people. Heaven on the other side, and I'll forget to it. But Rav Kook says, how do you become part of the cloud? Rav Kook says, like how do I make myself part of Klal Yisrael? So he says, you have to work on yourself to love Jews, you know? Not an easy thing sometimes. You have to love Jews. You know? How do you like that? We have to learn to love Jews. I don't know why I'm saying this, but you know, my wife made sure that I read a certain article this morning from the Jerusalem Post where somebody compared two things that happened this past Matzoi Shabbos. There were the 15,000, but the article said 20,000 who are in Kikar Rabin for the memorial for Rabin, and there were 70,000 at Kever Rachel. Light years away, you understand? Light years away. Now, if the 20,000 and the 70,000 could somehow miraculously learn to love each other. Well, let's start by not disliking each other. Which one as well would be dancing in the streets. We've been moving headlong into redemption. That's one of the great messages of that thought. The great message of here is, if we want to know what Avraham Avinu was, this Avraham Avinu was one who had a tremendous amount of love for the people of Sodom. The people of Sodom were the complete antithesis of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is kindness and mercy and pity and compassion and concern for fellow human beings. His greatest opponent was Sodom. And he could still care about them. It's an awesome ability. Awesome ability. These two, the 20,000 and the 70,000, are light years away. Okay, I think you said it's 80 kilometers away. Kikar Rabin to Kever Rachel, from the Kikar to the Kever. Okay, from the Kikar to the Kever. But if they could learn, I'm not talking about loving each other yet, just not to like each other, and see that each one is making a contribution to Klal Yisrael. And each one is. Let's move ahead, Faith, time is running out on us. Elisha said to Gehazi, what should I do for her? She has no child. The Isha Zaken, and her husband is old. Vayomer, so Elisha said, Krolo, call her. Vayikrolo, he called her, Kamoga Petak, and she stood at the door, Vayomer. And she said, he said to her, Lamoi Hazeka Eikaya, this same time, now, next year, Erchoveket Bain, you will be holding a son. But Toma, look at her response. This is fascinating. Her responses are Toma and said, Allah Domi, no, my master, Israel. Al Khazay Bishifcha, Bishifcha Terra. Don't deceive your maidser. You know what's fascinating over here? Sarah responds by letting, I can't believe it. She also is afraid to believe it. Why is she afraid to believe it? She has most probably already gone through all the agony and all the pain of being childless. And she arrived at a point that, you know, she's going to make up for it. She's going to be kind. She's going to be good. She's going to work for chesed organizations. She had already removed so much of that ache and that pain from her heart. And now the Navi is reopening it, and she's terribly frightened that she's going to be disappointed all over again, and that she cannot bear. What a beautiful comparison between the Sedra and the Haftarah. Sorrow, Mishra, but Haru Isha Rafael eventually became pregnant. She gave birth to a son. Bidiyot, precisely. La Mo'ein Hazer Ka'ein Chaya. Same time, next year, everybody's alive. And she has a child. I said, Bibir El Elisha, exactly what Elisha said. It's all was fulfilled, precisely. By the way, that's exactly what happened with Sarah. Same thing, Sarah, Shana, Sedra, Haftarah. The boy grew up by Yehi Ayom. They Nacha. Another by Yehi Ayom, by Yehi Ayom, and went out to his father, to the harvesters. By Yomer Elohim, and he said to his father, Doshi, my head, by Yomer Elohim, he said to the boy, so who worked for him, so Ewel Imo, carry him to his mother. By Yisrael, and whoever it was, the attendant, carried him, by Ewel Imo, brought him to his mother, by Yeshi Elohim, and the boy sat on her lap, on Hatzorayim until the afternoon, by Yomer, and he died. Batal, she went up, she went and she put the dead child onto the bed in that ruin that she had made for Elisha. Batizgor Bado. Batizgor Bado. She locked the door behind her. Batizgor Bado. She went out. Batizgor Elisha. She called for her husband and she said, Shukun Elia, Father Naron, send me one of the boys. Bahara Tanot and one of the donkeys. Warucha, and I'm going to run out of Israel, the king. Warshuman, I'm coming back. By nowhere. So the husband said to her, Madua Kolecha Payom, why are you going to today? Lo Chodesh, Lo Shabbos. It's neither a Shodesh nor is it Shabbos. And youngest, people used to go to their Rebbe, to their Hashiva, to the Navi. But tell me, she said, no, don't worry, everything's okay. Turn over. Drive and go. Oh, Tatsar, leave, oh, don't stop driving, King of Martila, unless I tell you. But Taylor, but Toho, Elisha, came, she went, she came to the man of God, El Har HaKarmel. Whose place was Har HaKarmel? Elisha also. On Mount Carmel. By the way, if you have the geographic picture, in other words, going directly from Afula, from Shunem, going directly west, you come straight to the highway, straight to Haifa, to Har HaKarmel. By Hijirot Ishul, the Kimon Tami Negev, when the men of God saw her, by Yomer Gehazi Naro, he said to his boy Gehazi, the Imea Shunamit Alot Baal, here comes that Shunamit. Arto Ruts Nolet Ratam, go run toward her, then Marla, and say to her, Hashalom Lach, is everything okay? Hashalom Leishayek, Hashalom Magelid, is your husband all right? Is your child okay? Matomet Shalom. We said earlier that a woman knows the guests in her house. She only trusts Elisha. She does not trust Gehazi. She is not going to impart any information whatsoever to him. And later on, we're going to find out that Elisha is going to curse Gehazi. All right? Tavo Elisha came. She came to him. Ela hafu the mountain. She held down to his legs. Like he got Gehazi lost. Well, Gehazi came over to push her away. By Yomer, Elisha came. Harpelo, leave her. Ki nafsha mor alah. Her soul is bitter. Hashem held me many. God is concealed from me. Below he didn't tell me. Vatoma, and she said, Hasha'alti ben me'et adoni? Did I ask for a son from my master? Halo amarti, I said to you, lo tash la'oti, don't deceive me. What pain. Vayomel Gehazi, he said to Gehazi, chagor masnecho, gird your loins, kach mishanti, be on the cloth, take my staff in your hand, lay it and go. Keep to Zoydish. If you meet anybody on the way, go to our hand, don't say hello. The Chiyuman at the place, low time, anyone, if anybody says hello to you, don't answer. The Santo Mishandil, they and I, you have one thing to do, go straight there and put my staff on the boy. But Tomer and Manar, and the mother of the boy said, Kaya Shem, Kaya Nashukan, swear by God for your life. If I will forsake you, I'm not leaving you. I stay here with you, Ishalakim. And he got up and he went after her. Gehazi, Abba's name, Gehazi, passed before them. He went ahead, he put the staff upon the face of the child, being cold, being kosher. No sound, nothing. By Yoshua who cross over, Yagadul and their Lohi Kitsana, Gehazi comes back toward them and says, the child didn't wake up. If she would have asked the Shulamit, she would have said, it was a waste of time. Gehazi can't do anything. She knows who the Holy One is. By Yoshua Elisha Habaita, and Elisha came into the house, and he made a narrative, and behold, the boy is dead. Mushav Amitato, lying out on his bed. By Yavo, Nachamo, he came. By Yisgor Hadelet Bat Shneim, and he closed the door behind both of them. The two of them are alone in the room. Now the possibility for a miracle becomes real. By Yifalelo Hashem, he prayed to God. By Yavo, Yishavol Yadav Bekatni, lay on the child. By Yosim, Pinal Pivah, Inov Aleinov. He put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his hands, but ye have a love. And he prostrated himself upon him, Vayochum the Sahagilah, and he warmed the flesh of the child. Vayosho, Vayelech Babayit, he walked back and forth in the house. Achapena, Vachapena, here, there. Vayal, and then again he went by Yikad Olav, and he prostrated himself by Yisohir, Hana'ar, and the child sneezed and shed upon him 7 times by Yishkachanar Benel, and the boy opened his eyes. Vayikro Gehazi, and he called to Gehazi Vayom, and he said, Kro, Ashunamit Hazo, call this Shunamit. Vayikro Eha, I still can't get why he always refers to her as Hashunamit Hazot. I don't have to know everything, you know. We can throw out questions. Think about it. Vayikra, he called her about the way she came to him, Vayomer, and he said, Shehi Habaneich. Carry your son, take him away. Vatavoba Tipola Baglov, she fell before his feet, but she started while it's up. She bowed down on the ground, but she saw it not, but he said. Now, the rabbis tell us, who was this son?
No,
not this one. This is Habakkuk. And Yohu Hanavi had brought a child back to life, and the child that Yohu Hanavi brought back to life was Yonah. This child that Elisha brings back to life is Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Again, help me, you know. And a lot of people are so tough to, I have to get used to saying Habakkuk. Habakkuk, of course, and this may be significant, Habakkuk is the one who asks in the most sharpest of all ways, God, how do you permit the evil to prosper? Lomon tiret givala losha sadik limenu. How do you watch as the losha swallows the sadik? And the second story, of course, is clearly the story of Sarah and Yitzhak. There's one final part of the story. Yitzchak nearly dies on the Akedah at the end of the Seder. But Sarah is not going to know that. The parallels are so powerful and so beautiful. But the overriding theme of the whole Haftorah is the idea of kindness, of chesed. That's the hallmark of Avraham Avinu. Why is our Rachmanim, because we are the children of our wrong engineer. Thanks for listening to me. I just love this. Yes, somebody has a question there. One question.
I think when he says this Shunammite, it's like saying this New Yorker.
So I asked the question, why does he refer to her as Hashunamit? And I'm not sure, I don't have an answer. You know, maybe next week, or maybe next month, or maybe next year. She doesn't have a name? Well, maybe he wouldn't call her by her name. What should he call her? I don't know. I can't end the sheer saying, I don't know. But I don't know the answer to this. Okay. Good job.